Well, the world is a dumpster fire. Nothing here makes sense. And you vacillate through crippling fear and constant self-defense. And nothing's right and nothing's good. And you're paralyzed with grief. Don't kill yourself, just have a cup of coffee.
Welcome to Coffee Over Suicide, dramedy podcast about choosing life over death, one cup of coffee at a time. I'm your host, Chris Parker Howard, and welcome back. Last week was pretty intense, right, guys? Now, again, this is not a replacement for any sort of therapy, and it's not a group therapy session. It's a lot more like telling your secrets to a good-natured dog. I'm not going to judge. Why would I? I'm your pal. I'm just here to get pet. And, throw the ball around. Thanks, everybody, for sticking around through this show. It really means a lot to me. Got a lot of really great feedback on last week's episode, which was Jodi Pearson-Kraska, actress, mom, sufferer of things, much like a lot of us are. And this week on the show, keeping in the entertainment theme, we've got Mr. Tim Rooney. Now, Tim is a producer, creative type. He's a guy that I met. He was producing a zombie film that I had a very small part in. And he was just a really solid dude. And I just love him to death, and I think that you will too. And today's conversation is a little different than some of the other ones that we're going to have on this show. But it's also pretty similar to some of the other ones that we're going to have on the show. And as the progression of the conversation happens, I think you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. But enough yammering on and on about nothing. You know, I like to keep these intros short. I like to keep them short so that we can get right to the meat of things. So let's talk to Tim Rooney.
You're still recording.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Absolutely.
You licked me. And so did the dog. For whatever reason, I went back to my impulse of waking up after like 4 hours.
Yeah.
So the first couple nights I slept great. And I think it was just a lot of times I think the reason why I wake up after 4 hours is I worked the third shifts for so long, and it's my body used to be able to switch quickly. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a reason or maybe it's a sign that I need to get out of what I'm doing for a living. With the recent health developments, my neurologist told me for you listening, I started having seizures back in April. They don't know why, and they thought it was maybe sleep deprivation, but they did a sleep study on me, and It didn't show any results. I mean, they found no brain.
Huh.
So, no, but seriously, they did what they called an extended sleep-deprived EEG, where normal EEG is like 10 minutes, and they have you close your eyes and blink the lights at you and everything to see if you're going to have an epileptic seizure.
Yeah.
And they did this for like an hour. They had me do a lot of breathing exercises, and they made me purposely only come in with 4 or 5 hours of sleep, and that wasn't causing it. But for whatever reason, my brain is into that mode. And part of it, I think, is medications, because I'm on like a bunch of diuretics and stuff, so I get up to go to the bathroom, you know. And then there's where the problem lies. If I get up for too long and my brain starts going, I'm up.
Huh.
So.
Man.
Yeah.
What all medications are you on? You don't have to say the names, but I mean, like,
What do they do? I am on one for the seizure, anti-seizure medication, which I'm not epileptic, so they don't really have an answer. Right now, it's just kind of a placebo for them to go, well, we're doing something, you know? I'm on that. I'm on a blood pressure, which the one that I'm on now is doing great. My blood pressure used to be super high. Plus the fact that I'm taking a, you know, a heavy dose of fuck it all, has been helping my, my blood pressure. But my blood pressure used to be bad, and I know you're not really keen and savvy on the numbers, but long story short, my blood pressure was bad, still on the medication. I got a new doctor recently who's been awesome. She was like, okay, well, fuck this. We're gonna put you on something different.
Yeah.
And it's actually a couple diuretics, like a water pill.
Yeah.
That's the one that causes me to pee. The water pill, aspirin, thins the blood. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm cold all the time, is I'm on blood thinners and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I used to be thermal. My wife used to say I was like, thermal. She'd get into bed with me and I would like heat her up. Now my feet are cold. You know, I'm the cold one. And I'm on Buspar, which is like a mild, I was told, non-habit forming, anxiety med.
Yeah.
And, I figured I'd mention the name of that. I'll name drop on that one, you know, because for the listeners. But
you don't have to talk to the listeners. You're talking to me.
Well, yeah, I know. But hey, let's name drop when we can. My good friend Buspar. But that's like the generic name. I don't even know what it's a regular name. I'm trying to think what else I'm on. I'm no longer on diabetes medication. My wife got me on this. She got me on this. Thank you. This diet a few months back that just through eating properly, it made me feel better.
Yeah.
Because I used to eat a lot of crap. I used to eat a lot of fast food, a lot of just processed garbage. When I lost the weight, I lost 40 pounds, 45 really. I've gained some of it back, and I blame it on holidays and just other people, because it's not my fault. And but I have more energy, and I stopped my A1C level, which is, you know, your blood sugar level and all that kind of stuff, went from diabetic level to normal.
Yeah.
And not even high normal, but to like, it went from for those who are savvy with that, went from a 7.3 or something down to like a 5.6. And in fact, my triglycerides had been high forever.
Yeah.
I was on triglyceride medication. I'm no longer on that. When I called to the nurse's office, this professional person on the other phone was reading me off my reports, and she goes, "Holy shit!" She's like, I just started dying. I'm like, "Why? What happened?" She's like, "I've never seen numbers drop this quick." So, it was a diet. It's this doctor named Joel Furman. It was a 20-day anti, like, reverse the effects of diabetes. So, if you're interested, take a look into him. I'm sure he's not going to give us any endorsement for this, but but anyway, it's very good stuff. If you have a concern about that, because, you know, there's a lot of things that I find that contribute to mental state, your state of mind is your environment, both your, where you're living.
Yeah.
And even in your house, if you've got a cluttered house, I find just cleaning the house sometimes will clear your mind a bit. You know?
Totally. Because a lot of the things that are happening to you can be controlled, at least to some degree, through your own choices. And
absolutely,
you know, there is something to be said for feeling like your choices are taken away, or like your choices are not effective at doing anything for you. And sometimes if you find yourself in a depressed state, one of the very first things that happens is you feel that nothing you do is going to matter.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that you're not good enough. You're not able to make a difference in your own life.
Because I know that you've had a history with fast food.
Like,
talk to me about that a little bit. Like, what is... Because I know that we've talked about it a lot over the years, but the one thing that never really came up is like, what are your earliest memories of fast food?
My earliest memories of fast food, I mean, my earliest memories of fast food was like when my sister would take me to Burger King in our area. And, I remember I didn't understand the concept of money.
Yeah.
Very well. And there would be times we would go, and she would get me a Happy Meal, you know, or whatever. Maybe it was a McDonald's, but I'm pretty sure it was Burger King.
Sure.
She would get me a Happy Meal. And then there was one time where we went, and she was like, "I can only afford to get you a Coke." I'm like, "But you always get me a Happy Meal." You know what I mean? And so it was like, that's my earliest memory. But my earliest memory of when fast food started becoming a problem for me was college. Oh. When I was in college, and I... I was broke, just like most college students are. Fast food was easy. Fast food was quick. Fast food was, I don't have to make it. I'm lazy. Don't want to deal with it. And there were three particular fast food things that really were the gateway drug for me.
Yeah.
Because fast food was my addiction. That was hands down my addiction. I smoked for years. I was able to drop smoking literally in minutes one night.
Yeah.
I won't get into the details, but I tried quitting a million times, and then all of a sudden one night it just was like, done, cold turkey, crumpled up my pack of cigarettes, threw them out.
Yeah, I pretty much had the same experience.
Yeah, and it happens for some people. But fast food, I am like a recovering alcoholic with fast food. I sit there and go, I'm 5 months sober, you know, I haven't had fast food since July or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And, but I, there was, in the Midwest where I was at, Michigan, there was a food chain called Hot Now. And they had 39-cent hamburgers.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. They were awesome. They were garbage, but, you know, I mean, people have their sliders, and they're, you know, these were Hot Now burgers. They were cheap, and they were good. And I would get, like, five of them, because it was $2.
Yeah.
And I would do that, or I would do Little Caesars had a basket of Crazy Crust, which was, like, basically a pizza's worth of dough.
Yeah.
For $2.50. Or there was with garlic and butter and all the healthy heart stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was also, I don't know if you remember, and of course in different regions, I know the prices were different, but in Michigan, it's a depressed state, and it was $59.79 menu.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know I've seen it was like, you know, $89, $109, and $129 or something in different, I actually remember going somewhere thinking like I was on another planet or something, you know, it was like Mandela effect. But, it was, those were the three things, and I did it for years. I did it for probably 5 years, and then after that, it was really hard to quit. I mean, Taco Bell still, even though it's not good for me, I still sit there and crave it once in a while. And I know it's awful for me, you know?
Right.
If you can, it's just like, now with smoking, I can smoke a cigar and not want to smoke cigarettes anymore.
Right.
I've separated enough from it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd ever be able to go and just have Taco Bell once.
Right.
Because it's one of those things that's so deeply ingrained in me, even more than smoking ever was, that I got to stay away from it.
Well, and there's something about it, too, that, I mean, you know, even as a person who never really had a problem with fast food, when I ate fast food, the issue for me always was they do this thing where they're like, we're going to make it really easy for you to get a lot of food for no money. And in fact, we're going to encourage you to get more than one thing. And there's something about that. Like, why would I get two things for $3 when I can get six things for $5?
Exactly. Exactly.
And so there's, and also if you're a person who's kind of poor, that plays on your that plays on your mental state, because, you know, you're looking at it like you have to get your money's worth. You want your money to stretch as far as possible. And so you want to get the most bang for your buck because you have to. You have to. And if you're going to spend money at a place, you should be getting a deal. So it's almost like you're rewarding yourself. Like, ah, see, look what I did. Six things for $5.
It's like you've beaten the system.
Yeah.
In a sense. But look at soft drinks.
Yeah.
You know, I'll use the generic term soft drinks. By me, it's pop. Yeah. Down here, it's probably soda.
Yeah.
But anyway, soft drinks. You go to any place, the lowest, smallest size might be $1.19.
Yeah.
The next size is $1.29.
Yeah.
And it's almost twice as big.
Yeah.
So of course, again, with the poor people, they're going to go, well, fuck, why want to, for 20 cents more, I can get the bathtub size, you know? So why not just go with that?
Why not just go with that?
Yeah.
You know, it took me a while too. Like I had a lot of that when I first moved here. One of the things I had an issue with, especially with food, was there were certain things that I refused to, I definitely still had that mentality of whatever I'm buying, it's got to be the most. It's got to be the most. And I found that it was the very first time that I was at a restaurant and I decided, fuck it, I'm going to buy the salad. That's the same price as a full-size pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to buy the salad. And the first time I did that, I felt anxiety and couldn't place it. Because I was like,
I'm sure.
What am I doing?
Yeah.
And
because you're buying water.
Yeah.
You know, you're not buying something sustainable.
But then the food showed up and it was a salad and it had a nice piece of steak on it. And it was like, and it was delicious. And I go, oh yeah. I mean, you buy the thing you want.
Yes.
And you have to stop looking at things for what you feel like they are and look at them for what they are.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And so that helped change, you know, the way I looked at certain things, but it was a difficult thing. So for you though, with the fast food thing, like what did that, so what did that look like? Like, I mean, obviously it's pretty easy to go through a fast food addiction and not have people even talk about you behind your back about it because everybody eats fast food.
Yeah.
So nobody probably takes
it. It wasn't like a heroin addiction or something where people,
you're like, I'm going to the restaurant and they're like, okay.
Yeah. Well, the most I would get is, hey, you probably shouldn't get that. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
Yeah.
That was about it. You know, that would.
But also, people are going to be looking at you like, well, you know, he's a bigger guy. He's going to eat that much. That's what he does.
That's what he does. And well, you know, whatever. I will say this.
But nobody thinks it's abnormal.
No. Not at all. I will say this though. Having been larger than I should have been, I still am. I'm still probably 50 pounds overweight, but I'm not 100 pounds overweight like I was.
Yeah.
Having 60, 70 pounds, whatever. I'm a math. Hate it. Regardless, when I was that much overweight because of eating shit, it is easy to lose that weight if you put a little bit of discipline to it.
Yeah.
It's harder to go from 180 to 160 than to go from 260 to 190.
Yeah.
You know, that last 20 pounds is a bitch.
Yeah.
And I've always had that last 20 pounds.
Right.
You know? But, when I hit 40 pounds, all of a sudden I hit a plateau. So it's like that first 40 pounds just went thip, in like 2 months.
Right.
And I've kept off, like I said, I kept off most of it. But moving to that next level is going to require more discipline. That's right. Where the accident, this was just literally just stop eating the
just
crap.
Just diet.
Just diet.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even dieting to the point where I was miserable. It wasn't like carrots and vinegar.
No, not,
you know?
Dieting.
No.
But managing your
managing
diet.
Managing what I,
You know, the word diet specifically just means what you
what
eat.
What you eat. Yeah. And you could look at what I was doing as a quote diet.
Yeah.
Because of, it was, you know, I was eating mostly beans and vegetables and things like that.
Yeah.
This particular diet says if you're going to have chicken, have it as like a condiment. You know, do like 2 ounces a week. I was like, I can't do that, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I still cut out the fast food.
Yeah.
You know, rather than being 100% of what this guy said, I was probably 90% of what I said. And I lost weight.
Yeah.
You know, so I know losing that weight helped a lot of with my depression, not because of the self-image.
Yeah.
Nothing like that. You know, that has nothing to do with it. Because you can be
sure though. I mean, I don't know how.
No. I still have a bad image of myself, but that's for other reasons. The thing with no, but the, you know what though? I started looking in the mirror going, hey, yeah, I see somebody in there. You know, I'm starting to see something. This is starting to work, you know?
Yeah.
So it did make me feel better about it. But I didn't feel better because of that. I felt better. I felt better because I felt better.
Yeah.
In other words, physically, I felt better, which put me in a better mental state.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get anxiety as much. I started having seizures, but that's a separate thing that they haven't figured out yet.
Well, it's the butter.
It's the butter. Yeah. I started feeling butter. You know, that's a completely unrelated thing. I mean, it could honestly, one of the things I suspect that could be causing that is the fact that those medications that I'm on, I heard a woman I work with said she had a seizure one day out of the blue and the doctor told her it was either a bug or a drug. And he was like, it's not a bug. Two of your drugs are interacting.
Yeah.
So for all I know, it could be one of those new meds she put me on that is working is doing something wrong with another med. And I'm having seizures. So we're going to have to get down to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
But other than those, I feel way better.
Yeah.
I feel better. I'm more positive. You know, I'm in a better state of mind. I'm more open to what I would have deemed before as crazy ideas. You know, this whole concept of just being nice to people, you yeah. know? I always like, it was like, yeah. No, I know.
Right.
But now I'm really genuinely like, no, why? It's easier to be nice than to be, you know, than to be defensive. Yes. I'm never an asshole.
Right.
But I'm a defensive asshole.
Yes.
I'm a passive aggressive asshole.
Yes.
You know? So don't agree so well. Right. You're like very positive about that. Like, no, you're right. Keep going. But,
Well, you act like I haven't known you like
forever.
15 years.
Yeah, that's true. No, but you're like agreeing too well. See, now I'm being defensive. Right. I'm going to be an asshole. No, but,
yes,
I actually wrote, you know what? I'm going to pull this up. I actually wrote a poem to myself. Wasn't actually a poem, but after I read it, I've been taking a course, and I'm not going to get into the details of that, but it's changing my mindset, and that's one of the biggest things that it's about. And while I was while I'm in the process of this, I've been like typing things up, whether it's quotes from the course or quotes from people who have given advice to the guy who's teaching the course, etc. But anyway, I wrote this thing to myself, and it's kind of something that I remind myself of. Yeah, you know, I fucked up. Everybody fucks up, kind of thing. But I'll read this to you here. I've got a picture of it. I've got all these things posted on my walls. They're little motivational things. And so it isn't meant to be a poem. But when you see it, it looks like a poem.
You're even getting defensive about explaining this thing, pre-qualifying it before you read it.
Well, no. I'm not getting defensive in that regard. It's the fact that these were just notes
yeah.
that I made to myself, statements that I made to myself. And it now when I look at it, it looks like a poem. Nice. I actually think it's kind of cool, you know? No, I'm not explaining that. Normally, I do agree. Yes, I do that. That's again, those are demons that are way back in the back of the balcony there that I've got to fix out.
Sure.
But anyway, here's what it is. I said, so, I'm 45 years old. I've made mistakes. I've stumbled through ideas and gave up. I've gotten distracted. I've, quote, chased too many rabbits many times. I've focused on non-passions just for money. I've not followed through. I've been an asshole at times. I've let people down. So, be better, not perfect. Be nicer. Be more appreciative. Be more in the moment. Be happier. Be passionate. Focus. Have more fun. Laugh at myself. Recognize positive criticism. Take advice with grace. Don't worry what others think. Recognize my weaknesses and get help. Work with others and fuck them if they don't want to have fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, and
that's
at the bottom,
list.
This is kind of, and so it's not really a poem, but you know what I mean? It's almost a mantra type of thing.
Sure.
But I put it at the bottom, start now, do it now, bury the past, live starting now and for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And it's a reminder to myself. So, you know, and it's sometimes if post those things around your house, you know, write yourself love letters. You know, whatever it's if you can, you know, and do that for other people.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, put a note in your wife's lunch or your husband's lunch or whatever, you know, I mean, you said I'm your husband, so that's a hint, Chris.
No, but even getting into that, so you've started taking command of your own shit.
Absolutely.
And
the good and the bad.
So let's go backward a little bit and talk a little bit about the formation of the defenses
mm-hmm.
and what led to a lifetime of playing defense up until the point where you are now, which is a lot more neutral.
Yes.
So I do have an interesting question. I guess I'll let you decide if the question's interesting. But the question that I have is, so in giving up the fast food,
mm-hmm.
like what is the thing that you've learned about the other areas of your life that the fast food was in response to? Because the fast food was certainly probably in response to something else.
The fast
food. Do you
know
what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. If I had to pinpoint it, I used to schedule my life around fast food.
Yeah.
In the sense that I used to sit there and go, well, I've got this much left in my budget. I can get Burger King. I can get Taco Bell. I can get this. Oh, and I got about $30 left on this credit card that I haven't maxed out yet.
Yeah.
I can do this and I can do this. And I used to plan around it. And it was almost like it was one of those things in my life that gave me that instant satisfaction when I ate it.
Yeah.
But I could control.
Yeah.
You know, if I had to pinpoint it, it was something in that spectrum of bullshit.
Right.
You know, where it was a case of, okay, I'm able to take control of what I'm getting and I'm ordering it.
Yeah.
I'm getting this stuff. I'm dictating what I'm getting. I'm going up to the thing and I'm going, I want blah, 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 blah at Burger King or sure. whatever, you know? And that was the thing that gave me a little bit of almost power. But then I realized that it's the, you know, the slave becomes the master kind of thing. Yeah. And it was actually taking over my life.
So I guess the question that I have on that is, so like if you're a cigarette smoker,
mm-hmm.
When you smoke cigarettes, you get this sense that it's going to relieve a stress.
Yes.
When you do heroin, you're escaping from, you know, any kind of pain or reality.
Exactly.
When you smoke marijuana, you feel like maybe you're more creative or you're entering an alternate state where problems exist separately, and you're like
people don't doing really opioids, care so much.
The pain goes away.
The pain, yeah.
So for you, what was the fast food delivering to you that the reality without the fast food wasn't?
It was a comfort food. It was just strictly it was a security blanket.
Right.
It was a familiarity. It was a thing that I'm going through this routine, but this is the thing I'm looking forward to.
So it was like a regimen of delivering yourself a dose of joy.
Yes, absolutely. I'd be at work and it would be like, hey, it's almost 3 o'clock. I get to go to Taco Bell. Right. You know, it was that kind of
and
thing.
So you're gonna have the cigarette.
I'm going to have the cigarette on my half hour lunch break.
Yeah.
It's going to be a half hour cigarette is what it's, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just one of those things. And as opposed to giving me lung cancer, it just happens to be giving me diabetes.
Yeah.
You know, that's the trade off. So it's like, okay, I'll take that, you know,
yeah.
And I was okay with
and
that.
Yeah. And I remember having conversations with you where you would say, yeah, I think that's happening.
Yeah. And I would still do it. I don't know how many millions of times I would go, yeah, I need to stop this. I know. Let's go get Taco Bell.
But I mean, how many years were you a smoker?
I was a smoker. I was a serious smoker for only probably about 5 years. I smoked on and off.
Okay.
You know, I was a.
But 5 years is enough.
That's enough. Yeah. No, absolutely. That's enough to have an addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I smoked for 17 years.
Yeah.
And there were times, especially being a poor person who smokes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which makes total sense.
Oh, because yeah.
You know, there's a wheel there. There's a cycle involved there.
Absolutely.
And there was one time, and this is the one thing that I always go back to in my head, is I remember rifling through my kid's piggy bank.
Wow.
For cigarette money.
Wow. Yeah.
My kid's piggy bank for cigarette money. And I remember that thought came to me one morning while I was out on my front porch having a smoke, and I'll never forget it. I looked at my watch. It had just turned 8 a.m. And I was like, that's it. And I looked at the rest of the cigarette and I chucked it out in the yard like you would do in Michigan.
Yeah,
you would
exactly.
Never do that here. You'll start a
forest fire.
But I chucked it out in the yard, you know, because that's the safest thing to do with it.
Yeah, why not?
And I went in the house and I had half a pack left and I put it up on top of the refrigerator and I never touched them again.
I think I remember you showing me that pack too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was it for me. I just made a decision. I had finally made a decision that this was enough, but that's not to say that it wasn't really hard for about a year.
Oh yeah.
It was. I mean, my resolve was stronger than it for the first time, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't complicated. And I also did take the tack of replacing one vice with another. You know, I started eating a bunch of candy and I fucked up my teeth.
There you go. Yeah. And that's the thing is you replace a vice. When I smoked, I didn't eat nearly as much crap.
Yeah.
I still was overweight, but probably I was admittedly, I was probably almost around the weight I am now.
Right.
So it's like the weight I lost was all that shit fast food for all those years. But no, when I quit, it was literally like a light switch. It was weird.
Yeah.
And it was a website that did it. I went to a website. Yeah, it was a website. I don't know if you even know if it's still around. It's called realage.com. And you type in all of your weight and your height and your this and your that. And when all of a sudden it was like, do you smoke? And I typed in, yeah, I smoke. And I put in all the years and how long I did it. And I put, you know, realistically, conservatively. And it was like, oh, well, your real age would put you at about 10 years older than what you are.
Yeah.
And I literally I had a cigarette on my ear. It was like, I'm going to go check my email, or I'm going to go have a cigarette, but first I'm going to check my email. And I got this thing and I did it and I went through it. I was like, ah, fuck it. What's it going to tell me? And when it told me I was 10 years older than I am right now,
yeah,
I was like, I literally pulled the cigarette off my ear, snapped it, threw it in the trash, took the pack of cigarettes. You know, there was about maybe 12 left, crumpled them up, threw them in the trash, and I was just done.
Yeah.
And I wish I could have done that with fast food.
Yeah.
I would dream. The fat, overweight fast food addict is envious of that guy who was able to just quit cigarettes, you know? And now I can honestly say,
there's not any support for that.
No, there's not. No.
I mean, as close as there is support, I mean, people can say that society frowns on it, but does it?
There's Overeaters Anonymous, but really? Is there? It's not as prevalent.
But here's the thing. It's not even.
But it's not even overeating. I didn't eat a ton of it.
Right. Precisely. I mean, it's overeating, but it's not overeating in a way that people are familiar with. People think that it doesn't count as overeating unless you're eating a whole cake.
Yes.
Or
exactly.
It doesn't count as overeating unless you have an entire bag of chips. But if you're consuming twice your daily calories in
or
one
more,
meal, that looks like it's designed for lunch.
Yeah. When really you're eating
that's
probably 4,000 calories.
Yeah.
You know?
That's insane.
Yeah.
And they're promoting it. And they're like,
totally.
Hey, look at this thing that you can get. And in the TV commercial, it's always some fucking fit guy, you know, eating a single taco, like, out of this box. Like, what are you supposed to do with the rest of the shit in this box? Are they expecting you're gonna save part of it for later? Supersize Me claims to have destroyed the Supersize Me movement. No, they just moved it.
Yeah.
They just changed it.
Yeah.
And I'm aware of it too. Fast food does this strange thing in your brain. Like there was a period of time when I started buying McDonald's for breakfast because I was like, yeah, I got money. It's fast. It's there. But the thing I noticed about that is that when I would go through the fast food line, I still had this tendency like, well, there are all these options. So if I just buy a bunch of small things, if I buy a bunch of the small things, that's better than buying one big thing.
Gotcha.
And so it was like, well, I'll get a small hamburger and a small chicken sandwich. And that's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas still it's like, yeah, but do you have to?
But all that combined too equals that big shitty thing.
Whereas if I eat something that's, you know, more sensible, that's not full of sugar and insanity and colors.
Yeah.
I feel full afterward. And after you eat fast food, you just want more fast food.
That's the problem. It's the endorphins.
It triggers the drug center of your brain.
Totally.
Like as a person who's definitely made themselves aware of addiction, like I have addiction issues and I know I do. And it's in my blood. It's in my family.
Yeah.
And so it's genetic. I'm predisposed to have addiction. Plus, I'm obsessive compulsive.
Gotcha.
And so obsessive compulsive mixed with addiction.
Yeah. That's a bad mix.
It's a little rough.
Yeah.
And so I get to be aware of these things. And with the fast food, I just found I couldn't do it anymore. Like I had to find a different thing. Like, and it wasn't even bad for me, but because I didn't have to do it, but when I did do it, I always overdid it.
That's
always.
Because again, it's that whole thing. And it may not even be, it's not like, you know, smoking a cigarette where it's like, I have a cigarette, I want another cigarette. It's almost like you anticipate, I know I'm going to want more than just this one thing.
Right.
So you just enable yourself to have those three things, those four things. I was there,
like when you're
I was
a smoker, you've got a pack of cigarettes and it's got two left in it.
Yeah.
And you have the one and there's one left and there's an anxiety to that.
Yes.
Like, because
absolutely.
When is this one going to come up? Yeah. And when am I going to need another one after it?
And am I going to be able to get one in time or have the money or whatever? Yeah, no, I remember that.
If you start talking about things like that, people start immediately going, whoa, that's not normal.
That's kind of,
but see, nobody talks about things like that.
No, they don't.
And people don't talk about their fast food issues like that.
Mm-mm.
People don't talk about having cigarettes like that. People don't talk about drinking too much. You know, drinking too much is another one of those things where I feel like people turn that into a pride thing. Like, they, instead of turning it into a shame thing,
mm-hmm.
they've turned it into a pride thing. Like a very male
pride. Oh, no, absolutely. Like,
oh,
yeah.
I had 17 beers and wasn't even drunk. Yeah. That is a problem.
That's a problem. If you can have 17 beers and not be drunk, you're a pro.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you don't want to be a professional drinker.
Drinker, no.
You know, it's like a eating contest. Nobody wins.
Nobody wins. No. Although that one Asian dude who can, like, eat, like, 78 tacos in 3 minutes. I don't even know what his name is.
Kobayashi,
yes.
The hot dog guy.
Hot dog guy. That's what it was. I knew the facts would be there. It was something with a something, and I knew it was close. Anyway, Kobayashi. How he's not like 400 pounds blows my mind, but maybe he does something else to offset it, or maybe he just goes and purges.
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, you're not supposed to eat like that.
You're not supposed to eat like that. And I think that the fast food thing has just turned into one of those things where even when I do it now, I have to be conscious. If I do it now, I've got to be really conscious. And I watch my kids with it too, and I try to be really, really aware. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
Let's not make a habit out of this. And when we do, let's make sure that it's reasonable what mm-hmm. everybody's getting. Like, let's not go insane.
Yeah,
like,
well,
I don't
today.
Get fries anymore. I just don't. I like if I go to a place because it's fast, I try to get the best option I can get.
Yeah.
You know, some kind of grilled chicken or something, if that's what I'm going to do. And it's never amazing, but honestly, none of it's ever amazing.
None of it's amazing.
Like, after you take some time off for a while and you go back and have a thing, like at least for me, I'm not telling you to, because mm-hmm. I don't want you to.
No, I'm not. But, I'm never going to touch the shit.
But
closest
me,
I'll get
like,
is Subway.
It's
Quiznos,
not great.
You know?
You know, and honestly, bread is the thing I'm starting to get, like, I'm starting to understand. We're all slaves to wheat.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's
a
whole industry around, like, people going out, harvesting wheat, making bread. And bread is, like, the devil.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Out of all of the everything.
Especially if you're diabetic.
Yeah.
Because everybody thinks diabetes is just sugar. Well, carbs
bread is
are
sugar.
Yeah. I only recently learned, I mean, I knew that, but it never, I saw the math behind it.
Yeah.
I mean, and here's what's insane is when you break it down into carbs, and I don't remember how it worked, but the punchline is the sugar-free Oreos had more carbs and more diabetic badness than the regular Oreos.
Yeah.
That's the shit that they're doing to people.
Yeah.
You know, read the serving size on a small bag of Dorito chips. You go, oh, it's a small bag. Yeah, there's 2.5 servings in that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like 6 chips.
Yeah.
No one eats 6 chips.
Right.
You know?
Because they'll put the calories in great big
yes,
numbers.
Exactly.
And then the asterisk at the bottom.
At the bottom going.
You know, if you don't eat any of this,
any
it's
of this,
no
you're
calories.
No calories. Well, if you look at it, it's 30 calories.
Right.
But, you know, it's just, And you know, and of course you can get an all big conspiracy theory of, well, it's the medical industry trying to keep everybody underneath their thumb and trying to keep them on the medication and blah, blah, blah.
I don't know if anyone's saying that, nutball.
I've seen that. Well, the aliens were telling me one time when I took my tinfoil hat off and I was talking to them telepathically, and they communicated to me through my big toe. It's got to be the right big toe. Well, it depends on what hand you are. If you're right-handed, it's your right toe. If you're left, whatever. Anyway, so the fact of the matter
everyone
is...
Everyone knows that.
Yeah, it's common knowledge. No, but the fact of the matter is that they're just trying to sell product.
Yeah.
They're not trying to kill everybody. They're trying to sell product. People are worried about sugar. Sugar-free.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit that it's... They're not trying to get everybody addicted to a diabetic medication.
Yeah.
They just want people addicted to Oreo cookies.
Yes.
And that's really what it comes down to.
Precisely.
Yeah.
You know, they got to sell those fucking cookies.
They got to sell those cookies, so however they can do it. Yeah, they're not, you know, so it's like, oh, shit, I'm diabetic. I don't want Oreos. Oh, sugar-free Oreos. Yeah, I want
those. Let us make Oreos for you.
Yes, yeah. And they're even worse.
Exactly.
You know, so it's just, it's those things, though, where, you know, it is frustrating, though.
Oreo toothpaste.
Like, you know, just... Absolutely.
You can eat it that way. We'll put it in ice cream.
Yeah, exactly. Oreo ice cream, you know? But, yeah, it's very frustrating, though, you know,
yeah.
and it's unfortunately not easy to eat the way you're supposed to eat. You know? And it's not even necessarily a meat and potatoes kind of thing. It's, sure. It's just not processed crap.
Yeah.
You know, that processed wheat is what's really bad because it's all the, not the chemicals, but the processing procedure. It's, picture a chicken breast versus a chicken nugget.
Yeah.
You know the chicken nugget is comprised of, you know, beaks and assholes and all that kind of stuff. Whereas a chicken breast...
Well, technically chickens have cloacas.
Instead of an asshole. Okay. Yeah. So it's cloagas and you cloaga.
Cloaca.
Cloaca?
With a C.
Oh, I thought it was cloaga. It's,
they have one opening.
That cloaga sounds like an 80s like TV star. Starring Phil Cloaga.
No, the cloaca, it's one opening that does everything.
Oh, it's the
that's it's where the eggs come out.
The egg and the poop.
Yeah, exactly.
Cloaca.
Yeah.
How the hell do you know this?
I don't know.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. No, they just there are some animals.
I've never known that.
Yeah,
I never
there's
knew
some
that.
Animals. So like that's where the urine comes out, that's where the sex organs are, that's where the anus is.
I want a cloaca.
All of it comes out the same place.
I'm gonna go have a surgery to get a cloaca. It's just convenient. Anyway, put it right where the taint is.
Yeah,
merge there
you
them
go.
Together. You know,
oh
like one stream of traffic.
You know, I regret bringing it up now.
But the fact of the matter is, back to the whole thing. A chicken breast is still a chicken breast. Now, it could have chemicals. It could have whatever kind of processing, sugars or not sugars, but salts and things like that to process it to keep it fresh.
Yeah,
you know, if you're getting from some boxed chicken, but it's still better than, you know, chicken butts. Chicken cloacas, chicken embryos, chicken, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it happens to be, beaks and feet and all that crap ground up into a paste and then formed. One clue that chicken nuggets are not right is that they're all shaped exactly the same.
Yeah.
The same four shapes.
Right.
You know? It's
they
like
go through a Play-Doh fun factory.
A fun factory, and then they're molded by angry grandmas, you know?
Yeah,
and
sure.
It's just, yeah. So, yeah, I just, the food industry... It's pretty messed up.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, the thing about any sort of food that you're going to get from a place is that it has to stand the test of time because they don't know when they're going to sell it, and so it has to be safe for consumption.
Oh yeah,
but it also has to last
to a point. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It has
no,
to
it's
last
safe.
Longer.
I mean, you're not going to get three legs out of it.
No.
Like that.
But you're
the safety issue isn't. No one's concerned if you're getting addicted. Otherwise, cigarettes would be illegal.
But they put a warning on it. They put a warning, this can cause cancer, and no one cares.
Yeah, well, they put the calorie count on all of the menu items
and
now, too.
No one cares. No.
Yeah.
Because it tastes good, and it gives... And that's the thing, is that it... Food is an escape.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Well, and that's the thing. Even good food. Food is life.
Food is life.
Food
so
is
so there's a, almost
life.
A, there's almost a quandary there of I need this.
Yeah.
But it's bad for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's kind of like, where do you draw the line? It's like, well, they're hot dogs, but I'm getting sustenance
well,
out of them.
Well, look at it this way.
So you
the
justify
difference
it.
Between the difference between drugs and medication.
Yeah.
You know, there are some medications that are good for you, but there are also you know, some drugs that when managed properly can do you a service.
Yes.
But if you give them to another person, they're poison.
They're poison.
Or if you give them to yourself, far too often.
Far too you
for
got
things
it.
You don't need.
You got it.
Then you've got a problem.
You have
and
a problem.
Fast food is exactly the same deal.
Nah,
it's
totally.
Just we don't have that same relationship with it in America.
No, because it's innocent.
Yeah, it's completely innocent.
You feed it to kids.
Yeah.
It's just like breakfast cereal.
On purpose.
On purpose.
Like, as an adult, knowing this about fast food, you know, I've bought fast food knowing this. Like, you buy it for your kids because a Happy Meal is fun.
It's fun. Yeah, you get a little toy and all
you
that.
You get a little toy. You get a little smile. There's a little game on the
it's
bag,
a game. It's
know?
A character from a movie, et cetera. Yeah,
yeah totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's got a Transformer in it. Don't
totally,
you want
yeah.
the Transformer?
Look, I want the Transformer.
Look, I bought you a toy and food.
And food. And it was $5, even better.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, and that's the reason why, you know.
And you know what it does is it creates, you know, it's the same thing as having the Flintstones smoke Winston. You know, it's the same kind of thing. You associate, and you do.
That is
you,
so awesome, though.
You associate those things together. Like, when I think about McDonald's breakfast,
yeah.
I think about my parents. I think about being in the back of the car when we're on a road trip. I think about family.
Yes.
I think
no,
about
absolutely.
Togetherness and fun and vacation.
Happy Ridge Farm remembers.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And that's what I think of when I think about it. I can remember the styrofoam containers that the sausage McMuffin came in. And the taste comes back to my brain.
You got it.
And it triggers the happiness sensor.
No, and that's exactly it, because it's all in that same wiring. Those are the same. Yeah. Those are all in the same sectors of your hard drive that is your brain.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, totally. And that's the stuff that they're counting on. Yes, absolutely.
And you know, while those memories being triggered by eating something is a good thing,
yeah,
it can be abused into something twisted.
Oh, yeah.
And wrong.
Yes.
And into a thing that can actually hurt you.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. So insofar as the fast food addiction is concerned,
mm-hmm.
when you are in the throes of the worst part of that, I have kind of a two-part question that I'm interested in.
Okay.
And the first part of the question would be, when was the first time you ever felt any sort of idea that this was something you needed to hide or be ashamed of or have a problem with? Like, when was the first time you felt that? And also, the other part of the question that I'm interested in is, do you feel like that was something that had a hand in creating depression? Or do you think that, or rather, let me step that back. Did the depression feed the fast food thing? Or did the fast food thing feed the depression?
Well, with the first part, I've known for years that I shouldn't do it. Even in college, I knew I shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But there was a certain turning point that really solidified it for me. And it was actually a message. The point that I keep coming back to was there was a Facebook message that my oldest brother sent me. And you might go, oh, well, it was a family member kind of thing. Let me put it in perspective. This is an oldest brother that I talk to literally once a decade.
Yeah.
I've gotten to know this man because of Facebook to a certain degree.
Right.
But literally, he called me on my 30th birthday. Then he called me on my 40th birthday. And he was like, hey, how you doing? Not too bad. Cool. Yeah, great. Cool. Hey, talk to you in another 10 years. Ha, ha, ha. Bye. And that was it.
Yeah.
You know, it was that kind of thing. And he's cool with me.
Right.
But he sent me this message and it was, you really need to do something about this. Dad had his first heart attack at 42. Dad didn't weigh what you weigh. Dad was dead by 50. You've got a kid. You need to think about it. And I was just like, yeah, you're right. You know, and my dad weighed like 180 when he died. He had a series of heart attacks. Most of his was brought on by smoking, you know, and because he was a big smoker for years and very stress driven. I get that. You got the addiction. I have the stress.
Yeah.
You know, anything can be stressful to me. But that brings up an interesting thing. A side note real quick. I stress over dumb shit.
Yeah.
If the other day when Skype wasn't working, I'm losing my mind, but I got rear-ended on the highway and I get out and I'm joking with the guy.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I've got a weird disassociation with real tragedy or real emergency. I can handle that like a fucking champ.
Yeah.
But when a fucking pencil eraser breaks off, I'm like losing my shit, you know? So anyway, but with the second part of it, it's a vicious cycle. It's I'm getting unhealthy. Well, shit, I got to do something about it. Well, I'll wait till tomorrow. Then I beat myself up. And how do I handle beating myself up? I go treat myself to some fast food.
Yeah.
Well, it's just one more day. Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to start this tomorrow. Well, I don't want to... Ah, fuck it. Well, okay, I'm going to do this diet. And then I will go in 120% for 4 days. And I go cold turkey. And then I hate it. And then I'm back on it.
Yeah.
Or I'll go into an exercise plan. And I'll do it for 4 or 5 days. One time I might have even made it 16, 17 days. But then all of a sudden it was just like the slightest little hiccup came up where it was like, oh, I got to go to an appointment. Done. I just dropped it. If there's anything I've learned is just like any kind of medication, mm-hmm. wean yourself off the shit.
Yeah.
And that's easier said than done too. But if you can wean yourself off the shit, I ended up going finally cold turkey.
Cool turkey.
Cool turkey. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. I like that. You cool turkey. But cool turkey of... I used to do 4 items at Taco Bell. Then I started doing 3 items at Taco Bell. Then I started doing 2. Well, when I finally did this last move, it was like, it was almost kind of like a jumping in the deep end of the pool because of that diet that my wife did with me. I made the commitment. I was like, it's 20 days. I'll do 20 days. that worked for me. So now I know it works. So now I go, okay. So where, if I was, if the perfect diet is at 100%, when I was doing that diet, I was at probably about 85%.
Yeah.
Right now I'm at probably 65, 70% of what I should be doing.
Yeah.
But when I was eating bad, I was at 10% of what I should have been doing.
Yeah.
So there's a thing called the Kaizen strategy where it's little steps. You go little steps, then you go into a jog, then you go into a run, and then you're in a full on sprint.
Yeah.
Baby steps, however you want to approach it, but approach it that way. And that goes with any problem.
Sure.
Anything you're trying to tackle, you know, don't try and take it on all at once. You know, unless of course you're trying to keep from falling off of a cliff, then yeah, do everything you can.
Yeah, take that one on all
take
at once.
Take that all at once. You don't want to just baby step from dying.
You don't get to fall in stages.
No. But but yeah, I mean it's most things you can approach it in that way. And so I approached this whole problem in that way was, you know, I tried quitting a few times. And then finally, one time I did take the plunge with that diet, and it was enough for me to realize, yeah, I can do it.
Yeah.
So I slip now and then, but I don't beat myself up over it, whereas right. I used to beat myself up over it. You know, so that's basically the best advice as I would give is try it, and if you can't do it one way, try it the other way and see that you can do it. Commit to 10 days.
Yeah.
And see that you lose some weight. And see, you know, and here's the other misconception is there's a lot of subjective opinions on what is healthy and what is not.
Yeah.
Do your research. Do what's best for you.
Yeah.
Some people try one diet plan. Some people try another diet plan. But you've got to stick to that plan.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really
what
it comes down to.
And the thing that's different about that, too, is that, and this is something that people don't talk about very much when they start cohabitating with another human being.
Mm-hmm.
And is that sometimes your diets are not going to line up.
No. My wife is vegan.
Well, right.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You might find that there are certain things that she processes that you don't, that you process that she doesn't.
Yeah.
And when you cohabitate, you tend to just make one thing.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to eat this because we can all tolerate it.
Yeah, exactly. Like
that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
But then you come to realize, oh, well, you know, maybe at dinner, like when we're serving steak and potatoes and vegetables and bread, maybe I can eat bread, but my wife can't.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe that's a thing where she's just got to know, like, oh, yeah, so I'm just not going to eat this. Like,
yes.
And that's one of those strange things because every single diet that's out there, and this has been one of the things I've learned, and I'm certainly no expert on it, but one of the things I've learned through research is that there isn't any diet that's better for everyone than anything else.
God, no.
The diets that are out there, all of them are just as good as anything, depending on what your metabolism wants.
You got it. You got it. That is 140% true.
There are a couple of caveats.
Yeah.
And the couple of caveats are try to stay away from the sugars.
Yes.
Try to stay away from the carbs.
Yeah. There was a diet plan that my wife and I were doing.
Fats are not necessarily bad for you.
No, there are good fats.
Yep.
And meats nuts are
not
good
necessarily
fats.
Bad for you.
No.
Nuts are good.
Well, most people will agree red meat isn't great. Keep that to a limited number.
Yes, correct.
You know, but like, yeah, chicken.
Yeah.
If you're going to eat a lot of meat, do more chicken.
Lean meats.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, fish is another one that is a lean meat. You know,
yeah.
A lot of people don't realize fish is meat, but it is meat. You know, it's a different type of meat. But like when people go, oh, you're vegetarian, so you eat fish? No.
That's
not vegetarian. Yeah, exactly. You know, so it's like, but it's still a form of meat. I mean, you could even get technical and say that nuts are the meat of the nut, you know?
Sure.
But this is actually, you know, it's a protein type of meat that has, you know, sinew and all that kind of stuff in it. Of a living creature, if you want,
yeah.
You know,
I got friends that are fleegan, which is flexible vegan. Like they're vegan unless they get drunk and then they'll have nachos.
You know? My kid, like, honestly, that's a good name. He's probably that. Cause my kid was pretty much vegan.
Yeah.
And then he tried dairy and he didn't shit himself dead. So we were like, okay, well you can start having, you know, ice cream and stuff if you want, because that was one thing. And we didn't force this on him.
Yeah.
Cause we would go out to a barbecue And my kid would go, "What is that?" And I'd just smile and go, "That's chicken." And I'd look at my wife and she'd just glare at me. And he'd be like, "It smells great." I'm like, "It is, you know?" But it's his choice. He doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Because he's a softie and he's, you know, he's like, "Nah, I don't want to do that to another living thing." And I totally respect that.
I don't want my dinner to have a face.
To have a face, exactly. You know, and that's my wife. She's vegan, like I said, but I'm okay with doing that.
Yeah.
I will eat vegan stuff. This diet was predominantly vegan. The guy doesn't say you have to be vegan, but he goes, "It's not a bad idea, you know, if you're going to do it, limit it down to a certain number."
Sure.
But his whole thing was fruits and vegetables and beans, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, I'm fine with that.
Because you got to get your proteins from somewhere.
Exactly. And that's where you get your proteins from, is from that. A lot of times it's, you know, I've even seen videos where they're like, "Well, you get the proteins from the same thing that the cows get the proteins from. You're just skipping that middleman."
Right, but you know? but the trouble with that too, and there's a misleading part in all of that, and that's it's not the same type of what am I missing here?
Vitamins and stuff.
Yeah, like
you miss like the B12s and things like that.
Well, it's not even just that. It's the protein itself is different. It's a different type of protein.
It's a structural difference.
It breaks down into your system differently.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's the same reason that but anyway, I mean, my wife is a biologist.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
and
yeah. I showed her that
video and I'm like, there was something in this that made me think, you know, it set off my spidey sense.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what's going on in this video? And of course, she lost her mind and was like, you know, no, God damn it. Like, they're missing a part of it. It would be like saying, you know, well, you know, why are we eating food at all? Because most food is just a delivery system for water. And
exactly. Drink water. Exactly.
Like, no, you're missing the goddamn point. There's a piece in the middle there.
Absolutely.
Missing.
But here's the thing.
But I do get it.
Yeah, well, and in my
because
wife's
you
defense,
you can sustain yourself.
Here's you can. Yeah.
You I've can been, sustain you know yourself as a vegan. The difference is there's two different things that happen when you're a vegan. It's that you'll have a more difficult time getting an adequate amount of protein. It doesn't mean that you can't get an adequate amount of protein.
But you've got to try harder.
You got to try harder
than
a person does if they're just eating chicken breasts.
Chicken breast, absolutely. No, I will 100% agree with that.
It's
going
to be more difficult.
Yes.
But it's sustainable. You can do it. It takes some effort. The other piece of the puzzle on that is that vegan diets tend to be very carb heavy. Because there's a lot of pastas, there's a lot of rices, there's a lot of...
If you're going with a non-dietary vegan diet.
Right.
You know, if you're going...
even like beans and things like that, like stuff like that, it's pretty carb heavy.
But those are a better type of carb.
Sure.
You know, those
they
are the ones...
Are.
Because
there's complex carbohydrates.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're non-processed.
And I'm also
speaking
as a person who doesn't know a goddamn thing.
Well, and I don't either. All I know is, for me, going back to what you said, it's specific to each person... Diets are subjective. Your body subjectifies the diet.
Yeah.
The Atkins diet might not work for one person. It might work swimmingly well for another person.
My parents.
You know, your parents.
With Atkins.
Exactly. You know, I tried it and it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
But this particular diet did work for me.
Yeah.
And I got to the point where I would have a snack of just a can of black beans. And it was something that sustained me more because I couldn't just eat celery. Any of that kind of stuff. I like celery, but just eating that, I'm hungry within 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But a can of beans, and of course I would doctor them up and I'll say what's in it, but it'll gross out most of the audience. But you know what? I'm going to say it anyways. Fuck it. I found, I'm embarrassed to even say this, beans with some hot sauce and peanut butter.
Yeah.
Because peanut butter is almost like it's like a poor man's tahini.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So think tahini with a little bit of sweet.
Yep.
Shit, if chicken and waffles can work, why not peanut butter and beans? So I do beans, peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter. I do beans, peanut butter, hot sauce, and every once in a while I'll throw some pickles in there.
I cannot wait to tell my wife that you eat this. So that I will no longer get shit for curry, spinach, and tuna fish.
There you go. Exactly. Hey, spinach and tuna fish, I can wrap my head around that one. Yes.
Yeah, well, of course you can. Because you're a monster.
Because I am a monster.
But let me ask you this. So as far as the so you successfully more or less have defeated the fast food demon. It doesn't mean you're never going to eat it.
No, it's
again,
still
but
there, but
it's something.
He's
you can
in a
live
cage,
with.
And I've got a big lock on it. Let's put it that way.
So it comes with you.
It's with me all
and
the
I
time.
Get it.
Yeah,
as a person, believe me, this is near and dear to my heart. Carrying that demon with you wherever you go.
Oh yeah,
I completely understand it.
Yeah,
you know, my demon's different. My demon doesn't say go eat that churro. My demon says, you know, you could just jump in front of that train.
Yeah. You know? Oh, believe me, his little brother tells me that once in a while too.
Yeah, and I just tell him, you know,
but I don't
down.
Have the big demon saying that.
But so let me ask you this. So as far as like the fast food is concerned, so you learn some things about yourself in the mm-hmm. process of getting that out of your life. I mean, of course, you know, I'm not a big 12-step guy.
Yeah.
But I do believe that any steps that you're taking toward trying to better yourself mm-hmm. are good ones.
Oh, yeah.
And whatever it takes to get you there.
Absolutely.
So for you, making the decision, you know, this is a thing I need to do and I'm going to do it, you do that. That's great. And then you have to learn some things. Then you have to start making choices.
Oh, yeah.
Then you have to start behaving a different way. You have to start living with this new version of yourself and really looking at yourself in the mirror when, you know, you pass a Taco Bell and you start sweating, you know?
Like, well, I used to purposely, before I got to where this diet was, I would drive down what I called fast food row.
Yeah.
And it was all the fast food chains in the city I was living in. And I would, it was a challenge to myself. It was like, I felt like I was running the gauntlet, you know, on a game show of seeing which ones I can just avoid temptation on. And I would brag about it to my wife.
Yeah.
How fucking ridiculous
because
is that?
Because you felt like you slayed a fucking dragon.
Absolutely. You know, I looked in its face and it breathed on me, you know, and I survived. And it was just like, hey, you know.
But how many people can you say that to? Like, I drove past all the fast food restaurants and didn't stop. And
didn't
have
stop,
them go,
yeah.
Who gives a shit?
Who gives
we
a fuck?
That.
Great, I folded a newspaper. Do I get a pat on the back? You know? Yeah. But so, to me, that was a huge victory.
But well, let me ask you this: as far as the fast food addiction goes,
mm-hmm.
you find out for one, you admit to yourself you have it.
Oh yeah, no, I've known that for a while, but I never wanted to. I've known it, but I've never wanted
knowing
to really
and
admit
taking
it
action
and taking
it,
action.
Taking
definitely.
Action against it, I would argue, is when you know it.
That's when you really know it. Yeah.
That's when you really know.
Yes.
It.
Yes.
So you really know it. You take action against it, and the thing I'm curious about is what starts happening to your mental state. Does it get worse?
It
at
got
first,
better,
or does it get better immediately?
It got for me. It got better on one stance because I felt good. Yeah. I was proud of myself, so I felt better.
Sure.
Wow, I've gone 5 days without fast food. Wow, I've gone 2 weeks without fast food. Then it became a physical thing.
Yeah.
Because then the sugars are gone.
Yeah.
Then it's out of my system. Then I physically felt better.
Right.
So when your mind is in the right place and your body's in the right place, things are gonna start happening more.
Sure.
You know? But I will say this is if you backslide, you know, don't beat yourself up.
Yeah.
I purposely was like, you know what, I'm gonna take a little break. It's the holidays, fuck it. I'm not gonna go crazy and eat, you know, freaking Cinnabons
after Cinnabon.
But I'm gonna sit there
because
and I'm gonna.
You've already decided to make some decisions that are lasting.
Yes, exactly. I'm going at it, and I'm like, okay, again, small steps, small steps. If you lose a pound a week after 52 weeks, that's a fucking 52 pounds.
Yeah,
a pound a week, you can do that with a healthy dump. You know, I mean, yes, I'm that guy, America, but, or at least the three of you who were listening, whatever. Anyway, I don't know, but, you can cut that out. But you could seriously lose a pound a week by walking to the end of your block every day.
Yeah.
You know, here's a way I wrap my mind around weight loss is every pound is 3,500 calories.
Sure.
So if you can cut out 3,500 calories of your day, I was eating probably 6,000 calories a day. I went down to normal calories, which is for my weight, I was weighing 260. It was a sustainable of about 2,500 pounds.
Yeah.
6,000 to 2,500. I was losing a pound a day without trying.
Right.
So I lost fucking 7 pounds in a week.
You know, I think.
And you could say that's unhealthy. Well, is it really? No,
I think
I'm just eating normal.
It's crazy that you've got this. I mean, how long did it take before you started to feel normal?
Probably about 2 weeks. Yeah, was
see,
all.
I think that might. I think I can wrap my head around that because I gave up sugar in every form for a month once, just to try it.
Yeah.
So I read labels on everything I bought, and if it like
I'm doing that with caffeine right now.
If it didn't say sugar, it said xanthan gum.
Exactly.
Like all of the hidden sugars.
Totally.
We ate completely Whole 30 for 30 days.
Yeah.
Whole 30. Whole foods, nothing but whole foods, whole grains, like just not even whole grains because we couldn't have bread. But
yeah.
But I mean, everything we ate had to be 100% natural without any sugars whatsoever. And I'll tell you what, as a person who doesn't eat sugar or who didn't think they ate sugar, I found out very fast that it sucked all the joy out of everything.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you an example. We went to a restaurant out of town, and because we weren't drinking, we were saving a lot of money at restaurants. And because we weren't eating any fast food, we weren't eating as often because we weren't stopping places.
Yeah, exactly.
So we went out to a very fancy restaurant. We went out of town and we were sitting on a rooftop patio with a glorious view of the mountains. It was beautiful in every possible way.
Yeah.
And I get this giant steak and I get a couple of sides. Couldn't have corn because, you know, can't have corn. It's carbs, sugary.
Yep.
So I get these, I get my asparagus, I get my big ass steak. It's got a big pat of butter on it, you know, and it's delicious. And I'm still sad.
Yeah.
There was something about, and that's something I would eat now, like, and be enthralled.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But there was something strange that happened. It was like, I found out how much of my brain was wired.
Absolutely.
With sugar.
That's why chocolate works so well.
Yeah.
Is it's like chocolate is the Prozac of that part of your brain.
Yeah.
For that, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It goes right to that. So it's like chocolate is immediately going to that sensor. And that's why everybody, you never see somebody mad eating a candy bar.
No.
You never do.
You never see an angry, unless it's a payday.
I like paydays. So let's make me happy. But the fact, well, actually, I'll just eat them just because they're there, you know. But yeah, you don't need see someone eating Hershey bar pissed off.
Yeah.
You know, it just automatically makes them happy.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and if they are, then if they didn't have the Hershey bar, they'd probably be going around the store stabbing people in the neck.
Right.
You know, so it's just.
Have a Snickers
here. That's what they should do. You know, they should have Snickers handy with police.
Yeah.
To just calm a situation down. Here you go. Here's a Snickers bar. Think about that. I'm going to push for that.
Well, that's a really good idea. Thanks for talking to me, Tim.
Hey, no problem, man.
And that about does it for this week, everybody. Are you okay? Is everybody good? The episode was a little different. What did I tell you? Different is good, though. Different is good. If you want to find out more about what Tim has going on, go to facebook.com/randomify and pester the living shit out of him. He loves online engagement, if there's one thing I know about Tim Rooney. And I know a lot about Tim Rooney. He's my brother from another mother. He's my best friend. He's a great guy. So, I don't know. Until next week, I guess. Get out of here. And be safe out there. Don't kill yourself.